بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم everyone. My name is Mehreen.
And my name is Zainab.
And we are your co-hosts for today. We're here to bring light to the questions that you may have as young Muslims.
And how might we do that?
Well, by bringing various female speakers, some very well known, some that may surprise you, so that we can sit down over a table and talk about the things that really matter. Now, today we are joined by a very well-rounded social media powerhouse, all the way from Paris. She specializes in an array of fields ranging from Islamic wellness, positive mindset, productivity, and sustainability. Let's welcome Sister Asia, or formerly known as the Mizan.
Bonjour. Comment ça va?
That was so good. I do prefer assalamu alaikum.
Of course. How are you? And how are you doing with this massive time difference? Because for us, it's very early here. 8 a.m. in the morning.
Sorry, you guys. I figured, oh my God. One of us is going to have to either wake up early or stay up late.
It's very, very late in the evening there.
Yeah, but alhamdulillah, I'm good. I'm doing good. I'm feeling a little bit sick, but so excited about this chat. The topic looks lovely, and it's always a pleasure for me to get to know sisters around the world and talk about things that matter. So thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thank you for being here. I really appreciate you having to stay up late for us, being on the other side of the world. But now that you're here, do you want to tell our sisters listening a little bit about yourself with Sage's Aureolas?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you gave such a nice introduction to my page. It's always funny because I always wonder how people perceive the page and how they would describe it. And you described it just as I see it, which is lovely. And I think this means that we align on this, and that's amazing. But my name is Asia. I turned 30 a little over a month ago. I was born and raised here in Paris, France. And 4 years ago, I created this page, The Mizan, as both a safe space for Muslim women around the world who just needed someone that was relatable, someone that loved Islam deeply, but was just a normal sister. So was sharing how she would navigate her faith and everything, but also the struggle that comes with being Muslim in this dunya. And also a little bit of a diary, I guess. Like a lot of the time, whenever I felt like I needed to share something, I was like, instead of just keeping it to myself, maybe it can be useful to a sister somewhere around the world that needs to hear this or needs to know that she's not alone. And I would just create a post, and that's how the page grew and is what it is today, alhamdulillah.
Tell us a little bit, now that we're here, about yourself. Tell us a little bit about your experience as a Muslim living in Paris.
So I get this question a lot more than I thought I would. Even from Muslim women around the world who want to visit Paris because it looks so romantic and lovely, which it is, honestly. When I go for a walk, or, you know, just like get to visit a certain place in Paris, I'm like, this is so beautiful. And it always blows my mind, like the architecture and the history and everything is just so crazy, even if it's not Muslim related, but just thinking about what men did at a certain time, you know, it's so crazy. But over the past few years, I want to say the past decade, it's just been getting, I want to say life in France more than life in Paris, because it's the capital city. There are a lot of Muslims in France, but even more so in Paris. We see a lot of hijabis. There are times where you get weird looks, very few times where you get like bad words or people, you know, like saying things that you don't want to hear. But that's not that common compared to other places in France. Where it gets a little bit anxiety inducing is where you watch the news, or when you go online and you see like what is going on, and you see the way certain politics or certain journalists talk about Islam, and it's like, don't you have other things to talk about? And it has kind of become a thing where you just distract people from the real problems of this country. And
I'm not gonna lie, it's not, I don't think there's one Muslim here in France that wants to stay here. And it's kind of sad because we grew up here. A few years ago, if you would have told me, where are you from? I would say, I'm French, you know, my background is Algerian and I'm very proud of being Algerian, but I'm French, like my hometown is Paris. And the more I grew up, the less it felt like home, which is terrible because if my home is not here, then where is it, right? So it's definitely not been easy. Even if you went, you're hijabi and you want to, you know, get a job, it's just so hard. Even if you have, like, you just graduated from one of the best schools in France, then you're just going to struggle to find like a job that is worth what you studied for. And yeah, there's just a lot of injustice and I'm not sure it's going to get any better. But then what I like to always say is that, you know, alhamdulillah, because there are countries in the world where you can't practice Islam, like Muslims can't practice, or they're facing war or they're under oppression. And we know, you guys know who I'm talking about. And it's just terrible. And here I'm still able to fast during Ramadan and shop for halal meat and all the stuff. So I still feel grateful, although it's not that easy.
Islam is such a beautiful religion. But why do you think people fail to see the beauty of it?
I would say there are different causes. The first one is pretty obvious. It's the way I don't even like to define them as people. For me, they're monsters. You know, they did things to the name of our beautiful religion, which is about light and peace and softness. And they did things that just do, like, have nothing to do with that. Screaming Allahu Akbar, that's just, for me, it's the most heartbreaking thing. And when I think about this, I'm telling myself, I can't blame people that do not know anything about Islam, because the only perception they have of our deen is that, you know? So that's, I would say, the first thing. The second thing is people in our community that are not terrorists, but they do not know Islam enough. They practice an Islam that is cultural. They practice an Islam that, you know, yes, I'm Muslim, I'm happy to be Muslim, but just the bare minimum. And you can't give a good example of what Islam is about if you just live it that way. Either you have to take a step back from culture and really deeply study Islam, or you have to challenge yourself about, yes, okay, I practice the five pillars, or, well, not all five, because some of the pillars are hard to practice when you're young, for example. But you still tell yourself, okay, I want to improve. I want to learn more. I want to see, you know, I think one thing is that a lot of people, they think Islam is just about practice and they forget about the character, you know, like the behavior, the etiquette of just being a Muslim in general. And the more you study, the more you realize, and I always say that Islam is not a religion. It's an actual way of life. And I think that's why a lot of non-Muslims, they have this bad image of Islam. And I remember one day I was at a grocery shop and the lady just behind me, she started talking to me and she was surprised when I told her that I was a content creator and I was focused on sustainability and wellness, and she was not Muslim. And she said, I am so surprised to see someone like you using those words. And I was like, what does that mean? I said, because when you go online or you turn on your TV, you just don't see hijabis talking about those stuff, you know? And it was so heartbreaking for me. Obviously, there's a part of it that is like journalists and everything, they don't allow hijabis to talk about this. But there's also another part of it where it's our community that is just like, yeah, that's not what Islam is about. What it is, what Islam is about. So I think that's how I would answer the question, I think, yeah.
On to the point of using your space to advocate for Islam, what is the Mizan and why did you choose that name?
I love that question. It's funny because yesterday I was cleaning my room and I found the notebook where I was brainstorming the name for the page. And reading the Mizan made me emotional because I remember what was going through my mind when I was looking for a name. And my goal was to really have a name that represents balance. I was like, I want to be
My goal in life is to be balanced about everything. I want to be balanced in the way I eat, in the way I sleep, in the way I practice my day, in the way I talk to people. You know, just for example, in your relationship, it's important to be soft, but you shouldn't be like too naive. And it's just all about balance in everything. And balance in Islam is al-mizan. And I thought I need to use that name. And I mean, you know, the journey of a Muslim is about finding that balance. And sometimes you go on one way, sometimes you go to the other. And I think what is most important is to be merciful to yourself and be like, okay, I know I went a little too far. That was a lesson for me. And now I do everything in my power to go back right in the middle. And then at the end of your life, when everything is going to be over, all your good deeds, they are going to be put in your mizan because everything is measured. And I just love that idea of having a constant reminder of, yeah, it's important to, you know, you messed up, it's okay. You can make that up, you know, you can, like, because Allah is the most merciful, and maybe you messed up once, but maybe one good deed is going to, you know, be counted as 10, like 100 times even. And I love that the name of the page just incarnates all of that. So that's how I chose it. And the rest is history.
MashaAllah, it's a lovely concept. I really like the idea of balance, like being able to balance your life and everything. Speaking of balance, social media is another thing that you have to balance a lot. And it can be a very tricky space for influencers balancing life and reality and Islam in this concept. We've heard the talk about how your fame came to be and the pressure from comments that you received. How do you deal with this in Islam? And how do you protect your heart and bring yourself closer to Islam?
Social media is definitely a weird place to be in. I think when you get into it, and especially when you aim to, you know, grow a page, and even whether you decide to expose yourself or not, like if you want people to know what you actually look like or not, you're still exposing yourself to some sort of criticism or some sort of praise. And either way, it's going to impact your ego, especially when you see the number like growing, the numbers growing and everything. I think I went into it telling, again, I think the notion of balance was so important for me that I was like, I want to be relatable for my community. I want them to know that I'm just a normal person, but I don't want them to know every detail of my life. So that was the first thing that the first goal that I set to myself was like, I never want to get to a point where my life becomes my job. And it's like, I'm like, the first thing I think about when I'm at the restaurant or when something happens is to grab my phone and share it with a bunch of strangers on the internet. Because let's be honest, even if I love my community more than words can express, because they've done so much to me, they know me, but I don't really know them. So it's like, you know, I need to preserve myself. And the other thing is that, when was that? I think it was last year or 2 years ago. I did, it was an interview for a girl who was writing an essay for a university, and she was doing it on de-influencing. And she said, like, what do you think about that? I know you made a post about it. And I was like, I think that was also one of my goals with that page, is that I didn't feel like I was relating to most of the Muslim influencers that I was seeing, because it was a lot of, look at my life. And for me, that didn't really align with Islam, because it's like, sometimes, it wasn't even for me, but I would imagine that for other people, it would just encourage a lot of comparison, and not in the good way. I think comparison can be beneficial if the thing that you're comparing yourself to is also encouraging you to grow and to improve and to work on yourself. But what I was seeing was like, hey, look at my life and how happy I am. And what it does is that it creates envy. And it's like, oh, I don't have that. I'm not that wealthy. I'm not married. I'm not this, that, that. And you just feel bad about yourself. And it just didn't sit right with me. It was like, people, I don't think that's what Allah wants from us, you know? It's like, Allah gives what is best for you. And your risk is decided by Him and is what is best for you. So why do you feel the need of exposing it to the world? I am like, yes, we can be happy for you, but again, we need balance for it to be beneficial for everyone. And I didn't feel like that was the case. So social media kind of became toxic at that point. I was like, I just want to create a space where people know that there are also like normal Muslimas who go through heartbreak, who don't have it together, who feel lost, even if it looks like they know what they're doing, they don't. And it's just, I felt like it was a relief for me first and for hopefully my community. I hope so. But yeah, I think that's what was motivating me and also helped me to preserve and protect my heart. And now it's been 4 years and I think my relationship with social media is getting more and more difficult by the day because the way it changed, like the Islamic lifestyle sphere grew up a lot, like it kind of blew up, I want to say even. And it's just a lot of seeing the same content all the time. And I feel like my content is a little bit different. So it's not going to perform as well as others. And I'm not doing it for the numbers, but it does create this feeling that is like, oh, okay, what am I supposed to do? And how am I going to protect myself from unhealthy competition? And again, that ego thing. And what I did was simply just spend less time on social media. It's kind of funny because that's what I do for a living, but it just was like, I'm not sure this is helping my self-confidence and even more so my faith. And subhanAllah, the more sometimes, you know, even if our religion is a lot about community, it is also mostly about your relationship to Allah and how you are going to experience that in your daily life. And if being in a community that doesn't bring the best in you or doesn't make you close to him, then the best thing you can do is just take some distance. And I think that's what a lot of people do, actually, not even just me as a content creator, but just people in general. And I think that's really important.
I think you've really summarized it well in the sense that if you really want to be taking any challenge in life in a positive direction, you need to make sure you surround yourself with an environment that supports the change in the right direction. Talking about change and, you know, all this transformation on social media, change in terms of life. Recently, you launched your book, The Winds of Change, which is a series of life lessons you've learned throughout your 20s. What was the most valuable lesson Islam has taught you?
Oh, that's so hard. Such a hard question. I don't know if I could choose one. The book is divided in 30 chapters that are about themes you experience in your daily life. And all the lessons are taught through, like, are seen through the lens of Islam. And when I finished the book, which is, it was a weird reading process because it was more like, I wrote, like I added a few texts, but most of them, there are texts that I wrote sometimes a few months ago or even years ago, and I just gathered everything. So it was so cool to reflect upon and see what I went through during my 20s. But, you know, it was like gathering everything and reading through it. I was like, wow, Islam taught me so, so much about everything. Like, it's just, I was mind blown. I was like, how? I think that's the one thing that I would say was the most valuable lesson, if I have to generalize it, is that the biggest blessing one can have in their life is Islam. And it's so underrated because most of us, in like if you take the 2 billion Muslims around the world, most of us got Islam from our parents, you know, and we take it for granted. And it's so crazy. And for years, like, I was always very happy to be Muslim. Even when I was a teenager, I was like, thank God I'm Muslim, because I don't know how I would survive. I would have survived teenage years without Islam. But I wouldn't tell myself, alhamdulillah, for being Muslim. I can't believe, like, sometimes you have a low opinion of yourself. Sometimes you go through things that just don't make you feel good. But through it all, Allah still chose you in the morning to wake up and be Muslim. And you go to bed at night and you're still Muslim. And this, in a world where there's so much fitna, there's so much, sometimes I look at the world and it scares me. I'm like, this world is weird. I see things, I hear things. And I'm like, thank God there's Islam. We have a book that was written so long ago. And the lessons you take from it are still applicable today. And when you read it, you might have read it like, I don't know, 10, 20, 50 times, and you still learn something new, either about yourself or about Allah or about life. And I think for me, this has been probably the most valuable lesson, that even when sometimes it's hard and you're like, why is life so hard as a Muslim? Then you remember this dunya is a prison for the believer. And the biggest blessing I have is this. Like, I might have nothing, but at least I have Islam. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful lesson to take. The lesson you could learn about Islam is Islam itself. And it is the biggest, and Islam is not just a religion, but a way of life. So the book Winds of Change, just for the audience out there, Sister Asia released the book. She's the author of the book. And basically, if I was to read a little summary of it, growing naturally comes with change. Sometimes it feels like a soft breeze, sometimes like a tornado. I pray this book will highlight the beauty of both, and how they can take you on one of the most fulfilling journeys you can experience in this life, inshallah. So please do check out the book, The Winds of Change, which is a collection of personal texts shared by our author, Sister Asia, on her online page, The Mizan. All about life lessons that she learned during her 20s and as a Muslim woman living in the West. So if I was to move on to the next point that we have here, another big topic to cover is finding your purpose and direction, especially for those in their 20s and 30s who don't feel like they've got it all figured out. Did you have it all figured out in your 20s? If not, then how did you sit with that and gradually find your footing?
I think the answer to this question is so obvious. Otherwise, you wouldn't have invited to the on the podcast. Yeah, it's I think no one has it figured out. That's something that I talked about with Rena from Din and Chai on my own podcast. And she said it as well. It's like, you might see that person online and think, wow, they really have it together. No one has, and no one does. And I think that's the beauty of life as well. I remember in my 20s, I feel like now that I'm 30 and I reflect upon my 20s, I feel like I lived so many different lives. And it's beautiful, you know, to reflect upon, because when I turned 20, I had the biggest existential crisis. I felt med school. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I talk about this in the book, but I was someone who built a lot of her confidence on her school grades and being the funny girl and the good friend, because I was like, yeah, I'm not good looking. I'm not the kind of girl that guys, you know, try to talk to and everything. So it was like, I need to compensate somewhere. And the fact that I would fail med school when, you know, it was like, I'm going to become a doctor and everything. And everyone around me as well was just nailing everything that we were doing. I was just feeling so lost. And what a weird way to start your 20s, you know? And I felt so bad. And subhanAllah, I remember the year after I decided to study management and economics, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna work hard, you know, not too hard, because I spent 2 years working so hard and it didn't pay out, so you need to be kind to yourself, but you know, work hard because it's important to work and study, and you know, place your trust in Allah and you're gonna see. And subhanAllah, I ended up being valedictorian, and that was so mind-blowing to me that I had failed med school the year before. And now my schoolmates, they were come, like my uni, like the people that were with me at uni, they would come to me and be like, wow, you're the valedictorian. That was so crazy for me. And I was so grateful to Allah. Like the first thing that I told myself, like, oh, praise be to Allah. I can't believe this is happening. And this encouraged me then to keep working and to go to great universities, alhamdulillah. The one thing that I got from my 20s is that something might happen and you're going to feel so lost and you're not going to understand what is going on. And it's like, you're going to question your whole life and yourself. But subhanAllah, years later, you're going to understand why this happened. And you're going to have another existential crisis and again, but there's just lessons. And, you know, I say that, and then I remember when I turned 25, I was like, okay, I have it all figured out. I'm going to London next year. I'm going to finish my studies. I'm going to do this. I'm going to launch my a sustainable home decor company and everything. And COVID hit and nothing went to plans. And I ended up creating an Islamic lifestyle page, which I never thought I would do. And, you know, life is just full of surprises. But I don't think it would be fun and enriching if it wasn't like that. So, yes, it's completely normal to feel lost and like you don't understand what is going on. But I think also it's a great lesson for humility, because we think we have the power on all things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that to remind you that I know better. I know because I am the all-knowing. I know you better than you know yourself. So right now you might think you want to become a doctor and that you want to study in med school and da-da-da. SubhanAllah, now that I see my friends who just finished med school, and I was lucky to study in Copenhagen, to London, to travel to Indonesia, and they just stayed in France and studied med school, and I know my personality, and I would have been so miserable just not being able to move and experience all those things. And my friends now, they're like, I say, you know what? It's not that you wouldn't have been a good doctor, but you would have been happy if you became a doctor. And when I think about it, I'm like, yes, subhanAllah. And even the decisions that I would have made when I was 25, yes, I want to do this. Maybe if I did create that sustainable company at the time, maybe I would have lost so much money. It was COVID as well. Like, maybe I would have remained stuck in that country and everything. Everything happens for a reason. And life becomes so much easier when you accept the qadr of Allah. When you're like, he knows that we plan and he plans and he is the best planner. And when you do that and you tell yourself that, it's just so life changing. But subhanAllah, it took me 10 years. It took me all my 20s to learn that. And you know what? I think that's what made me so excited about being 30. My whole 20s, I was counting the years. I was like, oh my God, in 9 years, I'm turning 30. In 8 years, I'm turning 30. And that was just a countdown. And when I turned 29, I was like, you know what? I'm excited about this next chapter because now I understand. I understand what all of this was for. And now I can just enjoy the lessons that I took from it and grow from it. And obviously, it's not when you're 30, you still have it all to figure it out, you know? And I think even when you're 40 and you're 50 and you see people at 60 just changing their lives. And I think, again, that's the beauty of it all. And you just can find comfort in the fact that it's kind of a relief to know that you don't have to control everything. At first, it's like, I need to control everything. But when you realize that you don't have to, it's just such a relief.
Yeah, that's very true. And I feel like I relate to that a lot. Like, I'm the oldest child, so I feel like I have to manage everyone else's world, including mine, even though I know I don't have to. And same, all of my friends are a lot older than me, and they're also in their 20s, and I watch them, because I am a lot younger, and I watch them go through, the first phase, the first decade of, being unsure in their life. And yeah, you were right, every 10 years you go on, it's, a different level of, worry, but you've done it once before.
Exactly, you're not going to think about the same things when you're 20, and you're 30, and you're 40, and it's okay, you know, when I was 20, I was so worried about my studies and my career, and now my worries, although they're not as strong as they were when I was 25, for example, but they're naturally about, I hope I'm getting married soon, inshallah, and what about kids and stuff like this, and you know, it's just how life is. And you, alhamdulillah, one thing that I would say about the times we live in, although they're still kind of weird, is that we do have easy access to knowledge. We have to be careful with the kind of knowledge that we seek, but we have so many useful resources that are made available for us that allow us to, you know, to kind of release that pressure that we put on ourselves, that families put on ourselves. And it's not just from people that, you know, are people of science, but also just people online that feel like, oh, she could be my sister, she could be my friend, she could be my brother or whatever. And it's like, okay, there's a Muslim around the world that just is going through the same thing, and it's good to know that I'm not alone. Okay, it just ties in with what I was saying earlier, but I think it just applies to a lot of people.
Yes, and so beautiful that you want to do that, because most influencers nowadays, you know, seemed to be quite out of touch with reality, but you was very down to earth and like you can relate and you can see the struggles that everyone goes through. Well, you recently shared a post, like a set of words from the Prophet, peace be upon him, that really calmed my heart when I read it. I wanted to read one of your quotes and get your thoughts on it. So the quote is, "And know that what has befallen you was not going to miss you, and that which missed you as not meant to befall you." If you can break this down for us and tell us why you chose to talk about it.
It's funny because this quote, I had to repeat into myself a lot to believe it. It's pretty personal. I don't mind sharing it without getting into too much detail, but basically it was heartbreak that led me to really connect to this quote. Because when you meet someone and you have that feeling that they're the person that I want to build a life with, it's like you, and especially when you're sincere with your intentions and you want to please Allah and have His barakah, and you know, you just, you, and even more so when you let yourself get attached to that person, and then you understand why Allah doesn't want that to happen. But subhanAllah, at first you're like, okay, you're in the moment, it happens, and that's part of life. I went through this, and not only didn't work out, but it also was so painful. It ended up like being an actual heartbreak that was so hard to go through. And I would just didn't understand why I had to, like me who wanted to get married to that person and was very honest, like that person knew my page and everything. He knew that I was so like sincere with everything that I was doing. And why did we have to go through so much conflict, so much argument, so much disagreement, so much, pain and all of that, if it wasn't meant to work out, you know? Couldn't it just be like, okay, it's not happening and, you know, we just have to move on from it, but it's still respectful. Why did it have to happen in so much pain? And subhanAllah, I think that quote helped a lot because I was like, it was just, there's different things to take from it. The first part is that maybe I would have never been able to move on if it didn't happen that way. You know, Allah decided that because it was meant to be that way, and it was meant to hit me that way so I could learn, you know? And then the second thing is that Allah chose that it wasn't going to be that man. It's just the way it is. And I might do everything that I want. If it was meant for me, it would have happened. And if it's meant for me, it will happen. But if not, then I just have to accept it. And that means that something else that inshallah is better for me is going to happen. And you know, it ties in with also what I was saying about med school. You know, at the time, I was convinced that I wanted to be a doctor. But Allah was like, this is not going to happen for you. And you have to accept it. And something else is going to happen for you. And you might want to try everything you want. If I decided that that's what was going to happen for you, then it's not going to miss you. And I don't think I've ever been in a situation where I was like, I really don't want this to happen and it's to happen anyway, but it still gives you food for thoughts, you know? Like, what if maybe you met someone. Again, I'm going to keep the example of relationship and marriage. What if you meet someone and at first it's like, yeah, I don't want it to be him. Like, there's just too many things that don't work out. Yet Allah keeps putting you sign that this person is the right one for you. And you end up marrying this person and you're the happiest ever. That, I think that also perfectly incarnates that quote. And actually, I have a friend who went through this. And the one time she told me that story, I was so surprised because she was like, I remember I was like, I do not want to marry a Moroccan guy. Or I don't know if he's Algerian or Moroccan, but she was like, this is not going to happen. I don't want anyone but someone from North Africa. And subhanAllah, her husband is Algerian. And it was just meant that way. And I think it's, this quote is just, again, I think, but like many things in Islam, it just teaches you to be humble in everything. It's like, you know, things in life,
do not always make sense. And sometimes you think you know, and sometimes you think you, you know, you have it figured out. Or sometimes you think your perception is what is best for you. You know, I see things that way. I know myself. This is, it needs to be that way, you know. Or sometimes you're so convinced about something or love the idea of something that you think that's what is good for you. But the truth is, the reality is, it's not good for you. And Allah knows that, and He's going to show it to you. So I think this quote was hard for me to accept at first. You know, it was like, sometimes things happen to you and you feel like they're not fair and you feel like they're too hard to go through, but Allah doesn't burden the soul beyond that it can bear, right? And if things happen that way, it was written that way, you know, and you have to accept it. And I think the one amazing thing about fate in general is that, yes, everything is written, but there's one thing that allows you to change it is dua, you know? And the fact that Allah gave us this only one thing that can change your destiny, and it's like that one thing is an act of worship as well, you know? It's not just like manifesting, as people like to say, like, yes, I believe in myself, I can do it, this is going to happen. I feel like this is so arrogant, like believing that you and just your own self can change your whole fate is, I feel like that's a little bit arrogant, but maybe I'm biased because I'm Muslim. But yes, I think there's just something very beautiful about telling yourself, yeah, everything is written, but Allah gave me space for to make dua, you know, and He took that into consideration. He took my free will into consideration as well. So the fact that I have to go back to Him, first and foremost, to change things, if they're good for me and they align with what He wants for me, then I just think this is beautiful. So does that answer the question? Sometimes I tend to ramble, guy.
No, I think He did a great job. What I really, really do love about you, Sister Asya, is that you have this sense of positivity. You look at the world through this positive lens. Of course, you're a human being just like us, and you probably went through your own hurdles and came to that conclusion. But it takes a lot of courage to come to the conclusion and view things that happen to you in life in a positive way. And your page exactly radiates optimism in this chaotic world. And if I was to throw a classic positivity phrase at you, living in the moment, what take-home lessons can we learn from this?
For a long time, there are people that live in the past. You know, they just hold on to the past so much and they can't move on and they're just very nostalgic and there are that kind of people. Then there are the people that are too worried about the future. They just obsess about how is their life going to look like and are they going to be rich? Are they going to have kids? And maybe the clock is ticking and they're stressing out about this. I was a little bit in the middle, like I was both nostalgic about my past, but also stressed about the future. And it was just a constant conflict, you know? And one day I came across a quote that isn't even a Muslim quote, but that after when I started studying Islam more, I just realized how much it applies to Islam as well. It was like, the present is called a present for a reason. It's because it's a gift. And that just hit me. I was like, okay, that is very interesting. You know, that is, I never thought about this before because in French it does work the same way, but it hit differently when I read it in English. And then subhanAllah, I told myself that is true. Like, I mean, I can't do anything about the past, right? Like that's over. Like that's literally over. I cannot do anything about it. My future, I don't even know if I'm going to be alive in the next hour. Like, Allah can decide that I'm going to die, you know? Why do I worry so much about this? Like, why can't I just focus on the time that I have right now and try to use it the best way possible? And then I read a book. It's Don't Be Sad. It's a classic. I don't remember the name of the author, but I can send you the link to you guys if you don't have it in mind. But they were saying, there's a quote that was like, why do you keep crying over ruined houses when you have beautiful castles just in front of you right now, you know?
And that quote, I was like, that is so true. Why do we keep like reminiscing over and over about the things that we used to have or that didn't work out, when right now Allah is giving us so many blessings that we can contemplate and, you know, be positive about what is about to come? Because although you shouldn't stress out about your future, you still should have hopes, you know. You should ask Allah to give you a long life so you can keep doing good deeds and prepare yourself to meet Him the best way possible. And that is something, you know, for a long time I was like, yeah, I don't want to grow. Well, I still don't want to grow too old, because I feel like being too old and not being able to move your body and being so tired is not exciting. But if I have to talk from a very spiritual and religious point of view, yes, the idea of, you know, being granted time so you can improve yourself and become a better Muslim and do the things that you didn't have time to do, like, or didn't think about doing yet. I'm thinking, for example, about sisters who are not wearing hijab yet, or, you know, those who would love to go on Umrah and things like this. And it's like, yes, if Allah has granted you more time, then you should use it wisely. But don't overthink about tomorrow. Just focus about what you have now and what you can do. When you wake up in the morning, say, Alhamdulillah, I woke up, I still have the day to do the great things. And when it's time to go to bed, say, Alhamdulillah, I got through the day, and tomorrow, inshallah, I hope I'm gonna be alive so I can do more things. And I think that way of thinking is so life-changing again. But, you know, you said that the page and my words are very positive, and that's, I think it's really, that's something I cherish and I'm so happy about. And at the same time, I think that also happens a lot when I'm with people that I feel like are also in that mindset and want to cherish that positivity. But so, subhanAllah, sometimes I talk about this with my mom and my sister, and they're like, you're so negative. You have this page, you helped so many people, you did this, you did that, and you still find things that you're not happy about. You still focus on the things that you don't like about yourself or you don't have, instead of all the blessings that you got from everything you did. And I think, you know, it's crazy how Allah is going to give a certain image of you to other people. And that, I'm so grateful for that. And at the same time, I'm like, as you said, I'm human. And I love that I can both give this advice that I genuinely believe in. And I think there's also a little bit of fake it until you make it. The more I say it, the more I believe it. But subhanAllah, sometimes you just, you know, you're on your own, and you're like, oh, I wish, like, you look at your present. It's like, yeah, things are not great right now. You know, I remember when I lost my dad, I was like, right now my life is not great, to be completely honest. I lost my dad. I'm not married. I'm almost 30. I'm not married. I don't feel like I'm earning enough compared to the studies that I did. And it's like, you focus on the things, like, you look at the present moment, and it's like, yeah, it's not great. But then you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is smiling, knowing what is coming next. Because first of all, hardship happens to those who He loves the most. He gives the hardest battles to His strongest soldiers. So it's like, okay, yes, sometimes it's hard. You know, you're going through hardships. It's like, can I just catch a break? But then it's like, Alhamdulillah, honestly, I would worry if everything was going well in my life. And I think that's the problem as well with social media and even Muslim influencers. Sometimes it's like they have this perfect life. It's like, wait, am I doing something wrong? Because I am Muslim as well. And I pray and I do this and I do that, just like this person seems to do online. Yet I don't have everything they have. So what am I doing wrong, you know? And there's like this constant questioning. But I think guilt is a sign of faith, and questioning is a great sign of faith, because you want to improve and you want to please Allah. So even when you're going through something very difficult right now, just think about all the blessings that are coming your way and how it is better to go through this here than in the Akhirah. Because sometimes I think about non-Muslim people or people that are atheists or, you know, never cared about religion, and it scares me. Reminds me of what they're going to experience. But, you know, Alhamdulillah, honestly, I think looking at the present moment with an eye that is filled with mercy for yourself and trust in Allah and sabr, which for me, sabr is not just patience, it's endurance, its resilience. It's like, it's so hard right now. It is so hard. But yes, I'm going to get up and pray. Yes, I'm going to ask Allah to help me and to make it easy on me and to all those things. You know, you still hold on to his rope. And I think this, when you do this in the present moment, then you are using your time the best way possible.
I think the best way, or the three words you use to summarize it, is sabr, mercy, and tawakkul. I think having that lens and really viewing living in the moment, in the present, through that lens of sabr, mercy, and tawakkul, and looking at the castles in front of you instead of the homes that you didn't get, I think it will really encourage everyone that's listening today, including ourselves, to look at the present moment and life in a more positive way. Especially looking at, you know, people that are less fortunate than us and realizing with what's going on in the world at the moment, how important it is for us to preserve our not only well-being, but our positive mindset, because that's what's going to lead to a good well-being, a whole well-rounded Muslim being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, exactly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those that think in a positive way. He doesn't like misery. Moving on to one of our final rounds, and that's called the rapid fire questions round. So Zainab, what is the rapid fire questions round?
So we're going to ask you some questions and we want your short, concise, first thing that comes to your head answer right then and there.
I'm pretty talkative, so I hope I can do this in a concise way.
So there will be a challenge for you then.
All right, first up, what is your favorite nasheed or video that you have come across recently?
Oh my God, I think it's not one specific video, but I have to say the Why Me, by a series by Yaqeen Institute. It's been mind-blowing, all the lessons that this series has brought me. SubhanAllah, it's just so good.
Question two. What is the best piece of advice you have heard lately?
My mom has the best advice. I was feeling very low and I was like, I feel like I'm working so hard and sometimes I don't get the result that should come with that much work. And she said, Asya, you're not doing this for people. You're not doing this for the money. You're doing this for Allah. And when she said that, I was like, you know what? Yes. I mean, well, what is a better reward than that? So yeah, I think that's the best advice that I got lately.
Very nice. Third question. What is one trait of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that stood out to you the most?
Oh my God. This one is so hard to answer in a short answer because I love Prophet Muhammad so much. But when I think about him, I think of him as a very bright person. I love the idea of him being a light for people, you know, and that is something that I kind of strive to be when I work and with the things that I do with the page. It's like I love this idea of just being a light for the society and leaving a mark that is positive. And he went through so many things. This morning I read about the battle of Badr, and it was like, I mean, he flew Mecca and it must have been so hard to leave your hometown, and then you go to Medina and it's like this just yet another hardship, yet he remained true to himself and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I felt like he would, and everyone fought for him as well, you know, and I think that was because he was such a light to everyone. And I love that idea of just being bright to people and kind and soft. Yeah, I think that's what stood out to me the most.
Subhanallah. And what is one final piece of advice you have for those struggling with their own rings of change?
This is going to sound very cheesy, but just like be kind to yourself. You know, you're experiencing life for the first time, literally. Like it's the first time that you're experiencing this. And one thing I don't remember, I think I wrote it in the book, but one thing that I sometimes reflect upon is how hard I was when I was younger, how hard I was on myself for certain things. And I was like, I wish I had been more merciful to myself, because my younger self hadn't lived enough to know how to deal with that situation. So of course, now that I'm older and went through all those things, I can give that feedback to myself and be more merciful to my younger self. But back then, I didn't know all of this. I hadn't went through life. I hadn't gone through life enough. I think it's just insane right now, you know. So to everyone who is listening, just be kind to yourself. You know, things happen. You are going to make mistakes. You are going to sometimes disobey Allah one way or another, because that's how we were created. And I think we can't experience true faith and what truly life is about if you don't go through those phases. But you don't need to be so depressed or tell yourself that Allah is not seeing you, or he's not listening to you, or he has, you know, forgotten about you, because he really has not. And when you tell yourself that and you learn to forgive yourself, I'm not saying this is easy, but when you learn to forgive yourself and to give yourself some slack, you just have to tell yourself that you deserve it. You know, focus on the things that you did right, on the good deeds that you can do, and inshallah, everything will go the best way possible. But trust him, trust him. The more you trust him, the more you will trust yourself.
And while you were saying that, it reminded me of just one Quran ayah that I would like to share. Surah Zumar, ayah 53. Say, O Prophet, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my servants who have exceeded the limits and transgressed against their souls, do not lose hope in Allah's mercy, for Allah certainly forgives all sins. He is indeed the most forgiving, the most merciful. So that brings us all the way to the end of our podcast. I would really, really, really like to thank Sister Asya for coming with us today and changing our outlook, at least my outlook, on a lot of things in life, especially with, you know, all that goes on in your 20s. I think we really, really needed that fresh breath of air. And for all those listening, please check out Sister Asya's page, The Mizan, on Instagram. Read her book, The Winds of Change. And I'll end and conclude our podcast here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruk wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.